So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, I am here. Thank you very much. Dhanavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for giving a valuable association. Now I would like to give the call to you. Now you can take over, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are reading Madhya Leela, chapter 20, verse number 52. Prabhu Sparshe Prema Vishta Haila Sanatana More Nachu Niha Kahe Gada Gada Vachana. Translation and Purports by His Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan was also overwhelmed with ecstatic love. In a faltering voice, he said, "O my Lord, do not touch me." Verse number 53. Dui jane gala gali rodana apara Dehi Chandra Shekharera Haila Chamatkar. Translation: shoulder to shoulder, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatan Goswami began to cry unlimitedly. Chandra Shekhar was very much astonished to see this. Verse number 54. Tabe Prabhu Tanra Hata Dhari Lana Gela Pindara Upare Apna Pashe Vila Saila. Catching his hand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Sanatan Goswami inside and made him sit on an elevated place next to him. Verse number 55. Shri Haste Karena Tandra Anga Samarjana Tinho kahe more prabhu na kara sparshan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began cleansing Sanatan Goswami's body with his own transcendental hand, Sanatan Goswami said, "O my Lord, please do not touch me." Prabhu kahe toma sparshi Atma pavitrite bhakti bale paratumi brahmanda shodhite. The Lord replied, "I am touching you just to purify myself, because by the force of your devotional service, you can purify the whole universe." Last verse for today, verse number 57. Bhavadvidha Bhagavata Stirtha Bhutah Swayam Prabho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantah Sthena Gadabhrita. Translation: saints of your caliber are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of your purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthira to Vidur in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. Vidur was returning home after visiting sacred places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was receiving his saintly uncle. In essence, Maharaj Yudhishthira was saying, "My dear Lord Vidur, you yourself are a holy place because you are an advanced devotee. People like you always carry Lord Vishnu in their hearts. You can revitalize all holy places after they have been polluted by the pilgrimages of sinners." A sinful person goes to a holy place of pilgrimage to be purified. In a holy place, there are many saintly people and temples of Lord Vishnu. However, the holy place becomes infected with the sins of many visitors. When an advanced devotee goes to a holy place, he counteracts all the sins of the pilgrims. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira addressed Vidur in this way. Since an advanced devotee carries Lord Vishnu within his heart, he is a moving temple and a moving Vishnu. An advanced devotee does not need to go to holy places, for wherever he stays is a holy place. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur states, "Tirtha yatra parishrama keval manir brahma." Visiting holy places is simply another type of bewilderment. Since an advanced devotee does not need to go to a holy place, why does he go? The answer is that he goes simply to purify the place. Om Adnyanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakha Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tuse Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarup Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण। I would like to offer my humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees, all the Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavis who are listening. Please bless me. I am a very contaminated and fallen soul. Please bless me so that I may be empowered and given the ability and enlightenment to serve all of you and to purify my heart by repeating the words of the great Vaishnava authorities. Let us repeat the words and the teachings of the revealed scriptures so that our hearts become purified and our hearts get attracted to the lotus feet of Shri Radha Shyam Sundar. We are reading the journey of our Sambandhacharya, Srila Sanatan Goswami. How he was suffering in the prison of a Mlecha ruler. How he was earnestly praying, waiting for the mercy of Krishna. Waiting for the mercy of Krishna who had appeared in Kali Yuga as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the nature of a devotee. A devotee is always eagerly waiting, earnestly waiting for the Lord's causeless mercy. Taddhenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjam evatmakrutam vipakam rudavakvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetyo mukti padesa dayabha. And the Lord is always very compassionate to everyone, but the Lord's sincere devotees have the ability to appreciate the mercy of the Lord. Sanatan Goswami received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the letter of Rupa Goswami. And then using the money that Rupa Goswami had left behind for him, he employed some transcendental trickery for a higher cause. He lied for a higher cause. He gave a bribe for a higher cause and somehow escaped from the prison. Crossed Mother Ganga. Stayed and ate rice cooked by himself in the house of a grahastha. Gave away 7 gold coins that were with his servant Ishan. Gave the remaining 8th coin to Ishan so he could go back to his village and live with his family. And then finally, after giving up all temptations of material enjoyment, giving up all hopes of being happy, separate from Krishna, Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is our Sambandha Acharya, met the Lord of his heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the house of Chandrasekhar in Banaras. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized that Sanatan Goswami has come, he told Chandrasekhar to go out and bring him in. But having associated with and lived with Mlecha rulers, he also had acquired the appearance as well as the name of a Mlecha. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami had their names, Dabir Khas and Sakar Mallik. So Chandrasekhar came back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "There is no Vaishnava outside." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, "Is there anybody at all outside?" He said, "Yes. There is a mendicant, a Mlecha mendicant." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself came out, and right outside the house of Chandrasekhar, Sanatan Goswami was sitting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately raised him and embraced him. And out of his natural humility, Sanatan Goswami was saying, "Please don't embrace me. Please don't touch me, Mahaprabhu. I am so contaminated. You are so pure." This is the source of real humility for all of us. How do we become humble? How do we become humble? We all know that we have to become humble. But how do we become humble? We can become humble if we are Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is so great that if we are always conscious of Him in His presence, we will always feel very small. We should always be conscious of our great acharyas mentioned in the pages of our shastras, our revealed scriptures. Because our great acharyas are so extraordinary that if you are always conscious of them, if you are always conscious of their activities and their pastimes and their accomplishments, their achievements, you will feel very, very ordinary. That is how natural humility comes. When we are Krishna conscious. Sanatan Goswami saw the purity and the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was embracing him. And he said, "Please don't embrace me, Mahaprabhu. You are so great. You are so great. You are Mahaprabhu. I am not even a Prabhu. I am a Das, 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 Anudas. Please don't touch me. I am very contaminated. I don't deserve to be touched by you." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lovingly embraced him even tighter, and both of them started shedding tears and crying in great ecstasy. Mahaprabhu was crying because he was finally reunited with his dear devotee who had suffered so much in a foreign land. He was the prime minister of a foreign land. Wherever there is no Krishna, that is a foreign land. If we are in a world devoid of Krishna consciousness, we should understand we are in a foreign land. Because he was reunited with his beloved devotee, Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him with great happiness, great joy. And Sanatan Goswami was crying because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was embracing him and touching him. "Oh, I'm so contaminated. I'm the most fallen. Why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touching me with his transcendental body?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Sanatan Goswami inside the house of Chandrasekhar and made him sit on a nice elevated seat right next to him. And then just like a mother cleans her baby who has fallen down and is covered with dust and mud, the mother will dust off all the dust from the body of her beloved child, and she will inspect the body of the child to see if the child has any bruise or any wounds on his or her body from the fall. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inspecting the body of Sanatan Goswami. Oh, how thin he has become. Oh, he has not eaten anything in days. Look at my devotee. He has become so weak. And with his own loving hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning, dusting the body of Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami again started praying, please don't touch me, Mahaprabhu. Please don't touch me. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Vidur, that a holy person, a pure devotee of Krishna, is as good as the holy places. Because he or she carries Krishna in their heart, they are walking temples of Krishna. Wherever a holy person goes, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. Because holy devotees, Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, they are themselves places of pilgrimage. So much so that they even purify so-called places of pilgrimage in this world. That is how powerful pure devotees are. That is the glory of Krishna Bhakti. It does not matter where we are. If we are Krishna conscious, if we carry Krishna in our heart, if we carry the instructions of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga in our heart, doesn't matter where we are. Whether we are in a temple, whether we are at home, whether we are in the office, whether we are in India, Bharat Bhumi, whether we are in Paschatya Desh, whether we are in devotee association externally, or whether there are no devotees in the city where we live, it doesn't matter really. If we can carry Krishna in our heart, the external situation does not make a difference. And today, with your blessings and permission, I would like to tell a story, a true story of a devotee younger than me who exemplified and taught all of us this principle. The principle that pure devotees of Krishna are themselves places of pilgrimage. Wherever they are, they sanctify that place because they carry Krishna in their hearts. For them, external circumstances do not make any difference. Is it okay if we discuss such a story?
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Matari. When we read about Srila Sanatan Goswami, Sri Vidur, and great devotees in our scriptures, we read about their extraordinary activities. And sometimes we feel that all this is good in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam, but what relevance does it have for me who is living in United States of America or any other country in Kali Yuga in the year 2018? Can I really follow in the footsteps of all these great devotees who are mentioned in the scriptures? The answer is yes, we can, and we must. We must try. And there are great examples within Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, that this does happen. I have shared a photograph on our Bhakti Sangha WhatsApp group of this wonderful devotee who we are trying to glorify today for our own purification. Her name is Shyam Sundari Devi Dasi. She appeared in this world in the early 1980s in Bombay. When she was born, her mother, Her Grace Janava Mataji, was not introduced to Krishna consciousness. And Shyam Sundari was the second daughter of Janava Mataji. The elder daughter was Vrajalila Mataji. So after Shyam Sundari was born, within a few years, Janava Mataji met devotees and she got introduced to Krishna consciousness. So initially, it was a little difficult to introduce all the do's and don'ts of Krishna consciousness in day-to-day life. But whenever Shyam Sundari was told anything about Krishna consciousness, she would happily accept it. Even when she was just a small little girl. For example, Janava Mataji would tell stories about Krishna consciousness, the basic principles of Krishna consciousness to both her daughters, and they would accept. One day, Janava Mataji was listening to some Bollywood music on the radio. This is in the 1980s in Bombay. When we are new devotees, we do that. We don't completely give up everything immediately. It takes time. So Janava Mataji was a new devotee at that time, and she, one day while doing some household chores, she was listening to some Bollywood music on the radio. And little Shyam Sundari came up to her mother and asked her, "Mama, is this song Krishna conscious?" So Janava Mataji was taken aback by this question of her little 3-4-year-old daughter. So she told her, "No, beta, this is not Krishna conscious." Then Shyam Sundari looked at her mother and said, "Then we should not listen to it, mama." And Janava Mataji immediately switched it off. And after that, she never ever played any materialistic music, only Krishna conscious music. When Shyam Sundari was very young, she noticed her mother was not eating grains or anything like that on Ekadashi. She was just eating some fruits and milk.
So Shyam Sundari asked her mother, why are you not eating with us regular food? So Janama Mataji replied that Krishna feels happy if we do not eat grains and beans on Ekadashi. So Shyam Sundari immediately said, even I want to please Krishna. I will eat whatever you eat. So she also started eating just Ekadashi Prasadam on Ekadashi. And Janava Mataji, to make it more interesting for Vrajalila and Shyam Sundari, she would engage them in making nice healthy milkshakes, fruit smoothies at home, and they would try to make nice yummy things on Ekadashi so that the kids would not feel deprived. One day, when Shyam Sundari was in school, again she was still in elementary school, there was a birthday party in the class. One of the classmates had a birthday, so he had brought a big cake to class, and the teacher was going to cut, and all the kids were going to enjoy a slice of cake in the class. So Shyam Sundari went to a Christian school, like many of us did growing up in India. Even I went to a convent school. So they are run by Christian missionaries. Nice schools. So Shyam Sundari also went to a Christian school, and she had a very strict teacher. And the teacher noticed that all the kids are clamoring around the cake, very eager to have a slice of cake. And Shyam Sundari alone is sitting in the back, as if she's not interested. So the teacher called out to her, Shyama, come, take your slice of cake. And she shook her head back and forth, and her two ponytails were wiggling back and forth as she shook her head and said, no, thank you. I don't want cake. The teacher was surprised. Which child does not want cake? Such a yummy cake. Why does she not want it? She said, come, I'll give you a nice cake with nice icing and a cherry on top. Come. And she again shook her head and said, no, thank you, teacher. I don't want cake. She said, why? So Shyama replied, because cakes have egg, and we don't eat eggs. We are vegetarians. So teacher thought, what is this? Her parents are teaching her, such a small little child. What are they teaching her? You see, in those days, in India, there were not that many devotees. And this was really a little bit of a culture shock for the teacher. So she was flustered that these parents seem to be fanatic. What have they put in her little girl's head that she cannot eat egg? What's wrong with eggs? You can't even see. It's just mixed in the cake. Everybody eats cakes. So she told Shyama that this is an eggless cake. Don't worry. Come, there is no egg in this. And then Shyama looked at the teacher with incredulous eyes, you know, as if, you know, they're wanting to tell the teacher that, do you think I really believe you? And she replied that, no, all cakes have egg. I will not eat it. Thank you. And she did not eat. That was the conviction. That was the faith and determination of little Shyama. And in this way, she took to Krishna consciousness very nicely. And when the parent-teacher meeting took place, the teacher made it a point to tell Janava Mataji that she's been too strict with Shyama. What are all these restrictions on a little girl? So Janava Mataji took it very seriously, and she decided that I must learn how to bake eggless cakes so that whenever there is a birthday party in school, I can send a separate eggless cake with Shyama so that she does not feel deprived. And then Janava Mataji learned how to make eggless cake, and she taught Vrajalila and Shyam Sundari also, and together three of them used to have nice family time. On weekends, they used to cook. They used to bake together. So in this way, she had a very nice, happy, Krishna conscious upbringing. And regularly, they would go to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir in Chowpatty, Mumbai. Every Saturday for the morning Bhagavatam class. Every Sunday for the morning Bhagavatam class. Every Saturday evening for the Bhagavad Gita class. And every Sunday afternoon for the Sunday feast. And they would chant japa in the temple. They would play around with their friends in the temple courtyard. They would attend classes together. They would play. They would have prasad together. They would participate in different dramas regularly. And they had just had a very fun childhood by Krishna's mercy. And then at a young age, Shyam Sundari, she became a very serious devotee, very sincere devotee. And she got initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. She later on got even Brahman Diksha from Radhanath Maharaj. So she was a Brahman initiated devotee, practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely. Janava Mataji had three sets of Arsha Vigraha deities at home that they would worship. Gaur Nitai, beautiful Radha Shyam Sundar, and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And Shyam Sundari would love to cook for them. Her favorite activity was to buy different types of flowers from the flower market and with her own loving hands make beautiful, beautiful garlands for Gaur Nitai, Radha Shyam Sundar, and Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. She would actively assist her mother and sister in deity worship, cooking for them, offering aarti, making garlands, dressing them up. And Janava Mataji has very high standards of deity worship for home. She dresses up her deities every day. We usually do it on Ekadashis, but she dresses up all her deities every single day. So Shyam Sundari would help her mother and sister, elder sister, very actively. And then she graduated from high school. She went to college. And her spiritual master's health was not very good because of all the hardships and traveling that he had endured in his life. So she felt that someone should give him a very nice diet, very nice food, so that his health improves. Because very rightly, so Shyam Sundari believed that food is the real medicine. If we eat right, then the food that we eat itself is the best medicine, and we don't have to take any other medicine. Most of the medicines that we have to take is because we are not eating the right food at the right time, in the right proportion. So she decided to go into a bachelor's degree where she would learn about nutrition and diet. And by this time, Janava Mataji had to leave Bombay and they were transferred to Pune. So they were living in Pune. And in those days, in the late 1980s, early 1990s, and even mid-1990s, there was not a very big presence of ISKCON in Pune. Right now, if you go to Pune, there is a beautiful Radha Kunj Bihari temple in the main Pune city. Then in the suburbs, we have NVCC, which is a huge sprawling temple with lots of devotees, lots of activities going on. But in those days, in 1990s, there wasn't a lot of activity in Pune, devotional activity. So Janava Mataji, Vrajalila, and Shyam Sundari, they did not have devotee association, so much devotee association in Pune. And whatever devotees were there, they were all new devotees who were just coming into Krishna consciousness. So every Friday evening after school, Janava Mataji and her two daughters, Vrajalila and Shyam Sundari Devidasi, they would catch the Deccan Express and travel from Pune to Bombay. And they would attend the morning Bhagavatam class on Saturday, evening Bhagavad Gita class on Saturday, morning Bhagavatam class on Sunday, and afternoon Sunday feast on Sunday, have prasadam, and then catch the evening train back on Sunday evening, back to Pune. And then Monday morning, they would be back in school. And on the way back on Sunday evening from Bombay to Pune, they would do their homework in the train, both of them, Rajalila and Shamsundari. And Janava Mataji would supervise them. So very exemplary mother, Janava Mataji. Very exemplary mother. And Janava Mataji, to catch the Deccan Express, they had to leave school on Friday afternoon, half an hour early. So she prayed to Krishna that how can I convince these teachers that I want both my daughters to be dismissed from school half an hour early every single Friday of the year. How do I do that? So she just went praying to Krishna, and with full faith she told the teachers that I'm having some dental procedure done on both my daughters, and it's several series of procedures that they have to have regularly. So Fridays I will have them dismissed half an hour early, please. And the school did not ask any questions. They agreed. So every Friday, half an hour early, both the girls used to be dismissed from school, and they would just say, hop in a rickshaw and go to the train station directly from school, catch the Friday afternoon bus, Deccan Express, to go to Bombay. And they would live with devotees, and whole day they would spend in Radha Gopinath Mandir. Whole Saturday they would spend in Radha Gopinath Mandir and then come back to Pune. So in this way, she grew up in a very nice Krishna conscious environment, had lots of devotee friends, used to participate in lots of dramas. A nice congregation was coming up in Pune also, and they were actively preaching. Shamsundari graduated from school, and then she went to college to study nutrition and diet. And every Kartik month, which is usually in the month of October or November, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he takes his disciples and well-wishers to the different dhams for Kartik Yatra. And in the holy month of Kartik, sometimes they visit Vrindavan, sometimes Mayapur, sometimes Jagannath Puri, like that. So it's a 15-day, 2 weeks Yatra. And Janava Mataji, Vrajalila and Shamsundari used to regularly attend all the Kartik Yatras. Never missed a single Yatra. Because it is 15 days of intense absorption in pure Krishna consciousness, without any distractions, without any other duties. Just be in the dham, chant intense rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, associate in a very friendly and submissive mood, associate with your devotee friends, honor prasadam, and just whole day visit holy places, take the dust on your head and hear Krishna Katha. Every year in Kartik, they would go for Yatra. Now, one particular year, the Vrindavan Yatra was starting one day before her final exams were going to be conducted. And she's in college. She's not in school. She's in college. So Shamsundari was very heartbroken. She did not want to miss the Yatra at any cost. So she prayed intensely to Shishi Radha Shamsundar of Krishna Balram Mandir in Ramandreti, Vrindavan. She intensely prayed to her Radha Shamsundar as well as to Radha Shamsundar in Vrindavan, that please, 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 how can I miss Kartik Yatra? I really want to go. And then she discussed it with her friends, devotee friends, as well as her colleagues in college who are not devotees. She discussed with them. And everyone said, this is impossible. How can you change the dates of the exam? And how can you change the dates of the Yatra? There is a conflict. You'll have to stay back for the exams.
But Shamsundari was so determined, and she had such faith. She was so innocent, and her purpose was so pure that Srimati Radharani empowered her. She went to the HOD, the head of the department, and she just requested that, "I have this yatra. I have to go. Please, please, please prepone the exam." Now, prepone the exam not just for her, for the entire class, the entire department. Prepone the exams, please. And the head of the department said, "I need some time to think about this. Please give me a couple of days." And then Shamsundari came home, and you can imagine what she did for those 2 days. She was intensely praying to Shri Radha Shamsundar that, "I want to be with Guru Maharaj. I want to be with devotees. I want to be in Vrajadham. I want to absorb myself. Please allow me to go. Please allow me to go." And the most merciful Shri Radha Shamsundar, they inspired the head of the department. And sure enough, the next Monday, the head of the department announced that, "We are going to prepone the exams for everyone." And Shamsundari was so popular, she would never gossip. She would never play dirty politics. She was everyone's well-wisher. So when this decision was made, everyone in her class who had to take exams early, they were happy. They were very happy for Shamsundari. That, "Great, now you can go for a yatra." That is how a devotee is. Devotee is dear to the dhiras as well as people who are not dhira. Dhira dhira jana priya priya karo nirmatsaro pujitau vande rupa sanatana raghu yugau Shri Jiva Gopalakau. They're reading about Sanatana Goswami. Goswamis were like that, completely non-envious of everyone. Therefore, everyone loved them. The devotees as well as people who were not externally devotees. So everyone was happy for Shamsundari, and she went for Kartik Yatra. There are many such pastimes. She would always wear tilak to college. She would always wear tilak. She would always wear Indian dresses, not Western clothes, to the college. And there is a story behind that also, a very sweet story. Janava Mataji really wanted Shamsundari to wear Indian clothes to college. So for all satsangs and temple programs, Shamsundari would wear Indian clothes, devotional clothes. But for college, she would wear Western dresses, Western clothes. So Janava Mataji told her a white lie. Transcendental trickery, just like Sanatana Goswami tricked the jailkeeper. Similarly, Janava Mataji also, as the loving mother, she spoke a white lie to Shamsundari. One day she told Shamsundari that these are all lies, complete lie, did not happen. But Janava Mataji told Shamsundari that, "Shama, I overheard some brahmacharis talking that this Janava Mataji's daughter, Shamsundari Devidasi, she wears these Western clothes which are not very nice to college, and they saw you wearing them when you were going to college. And they didn't like it. They felt that you are setting a wrong example." So Shama felt so bad. She just ran to her room, closed the door, and she cried for an hour. And then she came out. She wiped her face. And she told Janava Mataji that, "Mama, I will never wear Western clothes again. But you better make sure that I have got good devotee clothes." And every day to college, she would wear Indian clothes. She would wear tilak. Her forehead would be adorned with Vaishnav Tilak made of Gopi Chandan, and that is how she went to her college every single day. Saralta hi Vaishnavata. A Vaishnav is very saral, very straightforward. What is inside is what is outside. A Vaishnav is non-duplicious. That is what Shyam Sundari Mataji was. Straightforward. Very sweet, very innocent, well-wisher of everyone. Well-wisher of everyone. She would never gossip around in the college. But at the same time, everyone knew that if they ever have any problem, if they ever need anything, Shyama would be there for them to help them. In this way, she was making a lot of spiritual advancement. Lot of spiritual advancement. And one day, Janava Mataji, she went to the doctor for a routine checkup, and the doctor ordered some blood tests. So Shyam Sundari, being a very loving daughter, she accompanied her mother for the blood tests. And as Janava Mataji was giving her blood for the tests, Janava Mataji just somehow felt inspired to ask Shyam Sundari that why don't you also get some blood tests done. So initially Shyam Sundari declined, but then when the mother insisted, she gave in and she gave her blood sample for tests. And Shyam Sundari was very intense in her devotion. Her room was filled with beautiful pictures of different forms of Krishna. And she would write down on a notepad different quotes of Srila Prabhupada and other great devotees. And she would pin them up in her room so she could read and remember those teachings. One of the key points she wrote was instructions to her own self was, be a good devotee, be a good disciple, be a good daughter, and your life will be successful. Hare Krishna. Like that, she would. I'm sure she would put a photograph of Prabhupada on there. Like that. She was very Krishna conscious. One day a friend, Vrajasundari, Devidasi, she came to her house for a sleepover. And they were sitting and they were chatting all night together. How two young girls would do, who are friends. They were giggling and chatting, sitting on the bed at night. And suddenly, Shyam Sundari went closer to Vrajasundari and said, I want to tell you a secret, but promise me you will not tell anybody, because if you tell anyone, they will feel that Shyama has become mad. So Vrajasundari said, I will not tell anybody. Tell me, what is your secret? So Shyam Sundari said, I intensely pray to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna that I never want to see my mother and my spiritual master die. I never want to see them depart from this world. It will be too painful for me. Therefore, I am praying to Krishna that Krishna, please let me go at an early age. Especially, I never want to see my spiritual master die. I will not be able to take it. Therefore, I want to die early. So, Vrajasundari was shocked to hear such a prayer. And she chastised Shyam Sundari. What is this you are talking? You have to get married, you know, you have to come to Bombay, where there are so many more devotees. I pray that you get married to a nice devotee boy. And Shyam Sundari became very serious, very grave. And she told Vrajasundari that all this is temporary. All this is temporary. I really pray that I never have to see the disappearance pastime of my spiritual master. And when the blood reports came back and Shyam Sundari also told Vrajasundari that night that I hope I get some chronic disease so that I can prepare myself for death. And when the blood reports came back, they were very abnormal.
her blood counts were very low, and then she had a series of tests, and they found out that although she was just 21 years old, they found out that she had cirrhosis in the liver. She had a blood clot in one of the big veins which supply blood to the liver, and there was no cure for it. And then there was the next Vrindavan Yatra coming up, Kartik Yatra coming up. So everyone was very much heartbroken with this news. But Shyam Sundari, she became more and more intense in her devotional service after she got this diagnosis. And then she went to Vrindavan for Kartik Yatra. And for all the 15 days she was there, she used to have very severe headaches. So she had a devotee friend. She would request her, can you do some pressure points? Can you do some acupressure to relieve my headaches? Because this devotee was trained, this Mataji was trained in acupressure. So she would do the pressure points for her and her headache would be relieved. And then she would sit attentively through all the kathas, all the classes, all the lectures. And remaining time, she would travel to holy places. But whatever time she had in Vrindavan, where they were ashram, where they were staying, she would quickly go to Krishna Balaram Mandir and she would stand in front of Radha Shyam Sundar, Lalita Vishakha Radha Shyam Sundar. And the pujari noticed that for hours and hours, at least 2 to 3 hours every day, this young girl would stand in front of Radha Shyam Sundar, lovingly gazing at them with tears in her eyes, folded hands. Intensely she would be praying and chanting japa. The pujari noticed, because devotees come, they take darshan, they get some mahaprasad or they give some bhoga and they leave in few minutes. Who stands there for 3-4 hours? But this young girl, Shyam Sundari Devi Dasi, she would stand in front of Radha Shyam Sundar every day during all the 15 days of Kartik Yatra, 2002 Kartik Yatra. And she would intensely pray to Radha Shyam Sundar. Whatever free time she got, she would go and meet the patients who had come to Vrindavan for hospice. Patients who were terminally ill, who were going to die. Devotees like that, they come to Vrindavan to leave their bodies. So Shyam Sundari would go, sit with them, chat with them, discuss their realizations with them, and try to serve them in some menial way. If someone wanted water, if someone wanted some prasad, if someone wanted their room cleaned, she would just go and do that. One day she got to clean Srila Prabhupada's quarters in Krishna Balaram Mandir. She happily did that service, even though she was not well. In this way, she had a very intense Kartik Yatra in 2002 in Rajadham. Then they came back to Pune. And Shyam Sundari had one rule in her life. She would never leave home without touching the lotus feet of her Vaishnavi mother, Her Grace Janava Mataji. She would always take her blessings and only then she would leave home every single day before going to college. And then one day, Janava Mataji and Vrajarila had gone for some seminar and Shyam Sundari was alone at home with her elder sister Vrajalila's kids. She was babysitting the kids. She was playing hide and seek with them on the staircase of the building, feeding them, engaging them. And then suddenly in the afternoon, Janava Mataji felt a little uneasy. And she said, you know, I need to go to Shyam Sundari. I need to make sure that she's okay. Something doesn't feel right. This is mother's heart, you know. This is mother's heart. Many times they come to know. They can sense that something is not right. So immediately, Janava Mataji and her elder daughter, Rajalila, they came back to the flat and they rang the doorbell And Shyamasundari opened. As usual, she was very happy, blissful, full of energy. And she said, Mama, I have a great news for you. Janamadari asked, what happened? She said, I got my results. You know, her bachelor's degree final exams had just taken place. And she got result. And she said, only seven students from my class passed. And I was one of them. I cleared my exam. Because Shyamasundari was very humble. And she would always tell her mother that, Mama, Vrajalila is very talented. She will make you proud. But as far as I am concerned, I don't have any talents. I don't have any qualification. I will never be able to bring you a good name, bring you any glory. And Janava Mataji would chastise her, what are you saying? I don't need any glory. I love you the way you are. You just be yourself. I love you just the way you are. And she would embrace little Shyamasundari. So now that she had passed her exam with flying colors, she wanted to give this news to her sister and mother. And of course, they were very happy. And Janava Mataji hugged, embraced Shyamasundari. And Shyamasundari said, it's all because of your blessings, Mama. It's all because of your blessings. And she bent down to touch the lotus feet of Janava Mataji. And as soon as she touched her feet and she stood up, she felt dizzy and lightheaded. And she told her sister and mother that she's not feeling well. She's feeling as if she's going to pass out, as if she's going to lose consciousness. So they immediately made her sit on a chair, and Janava Mataji ran and got some water for her to drink. And just looking at her, her face had become very pale. Janava Mataji understood that something is not right. Actually, she was having internal bleeding because the blood vessels had all become very big inside her body due to cirrhosis. And she even vomited once. So then Janava Mataji and Vrajalila, they got very scared. And immediately they called a taxi so they could go to the nearest hospital. And they took her to the hospital. And there they saw that her blood pressure was very low, her oxygen level was very low. So they immediately put a mask on her face so that they could give her oxygen. They put her in a wheelchair and started wheeling her inside the hospital. And she was not able to breathe properly. She was struggling to breathe. She was feeling lightheaded. She was on the verge of losing her consciousness because of massive internal blood loss. But even in that condition, as Janava Mataji and Vrajalila were standing there in the corridor of the hospital, completely heartbroken, watching their little daughter, 22-year-old Shyamasundari, being wheeled inside the hospital room on a wheelchair by a ward boy. See, there are some situations in life where we cannot be with our loved ones. It's so heartbreaking. As little Shyamasundari, 22-year-old Vaishnavi, as she was being wheeled inside the hospital by the ward boy who had put oxygen mask on her face, as she was being wheeled inside, she turned around and looked at Janava Mataji. And with one hand, she moved aside the oxygen mask so she could speak. And she spoke to Janava Mataji. Mama, please give me my beads. And Janava Mataji ran with Shyamasundari's Japamala and handed over her Tulsi Mala, Japamala, to her. Shyamasundari grabbed her bead bag from her mother's hands as if everything depended on that. She took her Tulsi Japamala and she pressed it against her heart.
as she was being wheeled inside the hospital. She was too weak even to chant, but she pressed her Japamala to her heart, and within few minutes she left all of us. You see, as practicing devotees, we practice our devotional practices together. Chanting, Sankirtan, Krishna Katha, we dance together, we honor Prasadam together. But at the time of death, we have to fly our own plane. But what we have done throughout our life, that is what will happen to us at the time of death. Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram. Person who has remembered Krishna all his life or all her life, at the time of death, Krishna will appear in our mind. Even though we may not be surrounded by devotees, even though we may not be in a temple, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was told by so many god brothers and god sisters to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur to leave his body. But he said, that is not necessary. I want to teach the world that as long as you have Krishna in your life, in your heart, in your consciousness, it is not necessary for one to leave one's body in a dham. It is not necessary. If one can do it, that is very good. But for a devotee, it doesn't make any difference. He said, Srila Prabhupada came to Gita Nagari. For me, Gita Nagari is as good as Goloka Vrindavan. And he chose Gita Nagari for his disappearance leela. Shyam Sundari was in a hospital where there were no devotees, surrounded by doctors, nurses, and other assistants who knew nothing about Krishna consciousness. She was too weak even to chant, but she was holding on to the Tulsi Japamala on which she had chanted so many sincere rounds. And she was pressing the Japamala, the bead, back to her heart. And Shri Radha Shyam Sundar came and took her. When she was in Vrindavan for the Kartik Yatra, in Vrajadham, after a day of intense praying, she had a dream at night. In her dream, she saw herself lying on the floor in a pool of blood. And then suddenly Srimati Radharani came and blessed her and told her, I have cured you. I have cured you. And then Shyam Sundari looked and she was perfectly all right and all the blood around her had disappeared. And then she woke up from the dream. She told this dream to her mother and sister and to some other devotees also. She wanted to share it with Guru Maharaj. But somehow she did not. But later on, after she had disappeared from this world, when her dream was narrated to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Maharaj confirmed that this is no ordinary dream. Srimati Radharani personally purified her of all the remaining impurities in the heart and personally came and took her back home, back to Goloka Vrindavan, to eternally, blissfully serve Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar. The glorious example
of Shamsundari Devidasi teaches us that the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us is perfect and powerful. All we need is two things: strong sadhana and sadhu sangha. We need association of devotees, sincere devotees. Sincere devotees. Otherwise, it is not association. Sadhu sangha means associating with sadhus, sincere devotees who are eager, who share that fire of Krishna consciousness. Associating with devotees and having our own personal strong sadhana consisting of japa, reading, praying, deity worship. If we have these two things, then we can follow in the footsteps of Vidur, Srila Sanatan Goswami, and Shamsundari Devidasi. It is very, very hope-giving. And just by hearing the glorious activities of such devotees, our hearts can become purified. So I would like to thank all of you very much for patiently listening to the pastimes of advanced devotees of Krishna and for engaging me in your service. Thank you all very much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit Ki Jai. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Naam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. You were so absorbed in the pastimes of Shamsundari Mataji. It gives us a hope that we can also depend on the holy names of Krishna fully. But I don't know when the day will come when we will be fully surrendered to the holy name. But this gives us a hope, and it helps us to increase the faith on the holy names. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for sharing such a exciting pastime. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I think every Thursday we look forward to something very special where we can hear from you and then introspect on our own life. So thank you so much. It was very heart-moving. And I really think there was so much to learn about surrender, having absolute faith, and finally how to do our final journey. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very beautiful. All glories to her. All glories to you. Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for narrating Mataji's, Shamsundari's Mataji's life. Actually, by all the devotees' mercy, we can hear about the so many devotees who are there for only Krishna. Means by their example, we can also improve in our life. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. May I know your name, Mataji?
Anjana Gopika Devdasi, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Dhanvat
Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
If there are no more questions, then we can conclude the class. Thank you all very much. Vancha kalpataru vrischa kripa sajadurya eva patitana
pavane
vaishnavetam namo namo. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.